Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody, to In the Studio with your girl, Linus, on the Essence of Success Radio Network. And I'm so glad you're joining me today. Well, welcome to the studio. On every Wednesday, I bring you sports, NFL, NBA, MLB, tennis, golf, or hockey. Also, I'll be discussing entertainment news, news of the weird, and hot topics. The chat room is always open, so come in and join the discussion or make an opinion. All are welcome. As long as everyone respects each other, please. And even the athletes, y'all are always welcome to call in, too, to give your point of view about whatever sport it is that you're playing in. Sometimes it becomes pretty lively, funny, and laugh out loud good. If there is a subject matter that you would like to see discussed, send me a note at www.theessenceofsuccess.com, or you can leave me a note on Facebook. And it's the Essence of Success Network. Thank you for joining me every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Pacific time. And if you're on the East Coast, it's 9 p.m. So, and of course, always begin with the entertainment news. But we have a caller. So let me bring this caller in first. Somebody must want to do a shout out. Welcome, area code 903. You're on the line with Linus. Oh, I guess they just wanted to listen. Okay, that's fine. Nothing wrong with that. Okay, well, I'll tell you what. Let me play some music before I get into the whatchamacallit. Oh, my God, it's good today. All right. You know who we haven't heard from in a long time? I think this would be a good time. Is War. Remember the band War from in the 70s and the Cisco Kid?
Thank you.
Why, thank you, War. You always do a good job. You know, they're going to be with us through most of the show, so I appreciate that. Okay, let's get on with entertainment news. After the success of the live television musical The Sound of Music and Peter Pan, the NBC network is moving ahead with plans for more. Getting the TV Makeover will be two 1978 movie musical classics, Grease, which starred John Travolta and Olivia Newton-John, and The Wiz, which starred Diana Ross, Richard Pryor, and Lena Horne and Michael Jackson. That's going to be something to look forward to. She raked in a lot of money for Annie, but actress Quizzane Wallace is taking a pay cut for the next movie. Wallace is set to appear in the movie Fathers and Daughters with Oscar winner Russell Crowe. The upshot is Wallace deal calls for her to get a bonus if that movie grosses $35 million and more bonuses for every $5 million after. Wallace's current film, Annie, co-starring Jamie Foxx, and Cameron Diaz, has grossed over $32 million at the box office so far. Well, congratulations to her. That's really nice. That's good. Okay, the remaining members of the TLC T-Boss, Tion Watkins and Chili Rosanda Thomas, want their fans to help them with their fifth and final album. They are asking their fans to pay for the production of the album via crowdfunding. The ladies are also going on the main event tour with New Kids on the Block and Nelly this summer. TLC tickets goes on sale January 31st, and the tour hits the East Coast starting Friday, June 19th. It looks like Philly is going to be their first city, so you definitely want to check that out. Well, we would love to see Idris Elba every week on our TV screen, but we'll see it settle for his production work. Elba, who has received a Golden Globe nomination for his role as the title character in the BBC movie drama Luther. I don't know if you watch British television. I do. I don't know. Maybe it's a past life thing, but I enjoy British drama. And so I've seen his show. I mean, he's good. He's really good on there. His cop drama Luther is a producer for an American TV version of Luther. Oh, okay. The Fox Network gave the green light. There's also a possibility of making a TV movie into a series. But Elba won't be starring in either. Luther wrapped after it ran three seasons in Europe, and Elba is now concentrating more on his film work. Well, all righty then. And I'll tell you what, I do believe we ought to listen to one more song coming up, okay? I cut to that so smoothly, didn't I? Ha ha! The World is a Ghetto by War. Well, continuing on with entertainment news, congrats to actor and comedian Chris Tucker. Tucker is engaged to be married to Fox's Atlanta news anchor, Sin Thompson. She is the niece of legendary TV host and radio DJ Donnie Simpson, which you probably remember him from BET back in the day. Little Bow Wow is no more. Bow Wow is moving on after BET's 106 in Park was canceled and turned into an online project. Whatever, I'm glad they're off the air. The rapper's actor is fully committed to launching his acting career. Bow Wow now goes by his legal government name, Shad Moss, and he will be one of the stars of the upcoming CB series, CSI Cyber, which premieres March 4th. Dancer Derrick Ho is not returning to ABC's Dancing with the Stars when season 20 kicks off March 16th. Ho is leaving to join the New York Spring Spectacular at Radio City Music Hall. Break a leg, Derrick. Filming starts next week, and Sylvester Stallone is in town for the new Rocky movie. Felicia Rashad has joined the cast of the Rocky movie spinoff Creed. Rashad will play the widow of Apollo Creed. The Apollo Creed character was played by Carl Weathers in the famed Rocky movie series, but was killed off in a fight in Rocky IV. The movie Creed will star Michael B. Jordan from Fruitvale Station as the grandson of the Apollo Creed, who is pushing a boxing career. He is being mentored by Sylvester Stallone, who returns as Rocky. It's a reunion for Jordan because Ryan Coogler, Fruitvale Station, is directing it. The movie opens in 2016, the 40th anniversary of the release of the original Rocky movies. Well, how about that, folks? Congratulations to you, Sylvester Stallone. Check out the latest issue of GQ, ladies. Guess who's on the cover? That's right, super producer Pharrell with his little cutie pie self. So you might want to check him out. Unsung Hollywood returns with a profile of comedian actor Red Fox, a feature on the John Singleton movie Baby Boy and the hit Thursday night sitcom A Different World. Unsung Hollywood premieres February 11th on TV One. Okay, I'm ready to listen to some more music. I don't know about y'all. Just sounded so good.
Yeah.
we're back. Now I'm going to read a story. This is just all over the news today. And also I'm sure it's in a lot of the newspapers across the United States as well as on the Internet. It's about the Supreme Court halting the Oklahoma execution. So let me tell you a little bit about that. Since everybody's talking about it, we might as well get in there too and get in the mix. Supreme Court halts Oklahoma executions pending lethal injection case. The United States Supreme Court stayed the execution of three Oklahoma death row inmates challenging the state's lethal injection protocol. A fourth plaintiff was executed on January 15th before the high court agreed to hear the case. Oh, well, I guess he's a little late coming up. He's a crispy critter now. The United States Supreme Court on Wednesday agreed to halt the scheduled execution of these death row plaintiffs who are challenging Oklahoma's lethal injection protocol at the high court. The case is likely to be argued in April. We'll examine whether Oklahoma's three-drug protocol for lethal injection violates the Eighth Amendment prohibition on cruel and unusual punishment. Well, honey, that's been happening since back in slavery, okay? The stay orders were necessary to prevent the unusual possibility that all three death row plaintiffs could technically be executed before their first legal brief arguing their case to the high court was even due on March 9th. Recommendation: should death penalty the state of capital punishment in the United States worldwide? Death row inmate Richard Glossop was set to be executed this Thursday. John Grant was scheduled for lethal injection on February 19th, and Benjamin Cole was facing a March 5th execution. Executing a death row plaintiff before the court hears his case is not entirely unheard of. The Oklahoma case originally featured four death row plaintiffs, but one was put to death before the Supreme Court agreed to take up the lethal injection case. It is unclear why the justices did not issue a stay to prevent the January 15th execution of that inmate, Charles Warner. Nonetheless, the high court agreed a week later to hear the Oklahoma case, raising the question about whether stays should be issued to prevent the state from executing the three other plaintiffs while their case was pending before court. John Hayden, an Oklahoma assistant attorney general, asked for the stay, and lawyers for the inmates agree that pending execution should be halted. Specifically, an issue in the Supreme Court challenge is whether the first drug administered in the execution process, midazolam is effective in rendering the condemned prisoner into a coma-like unconsciousness before the other two drugs are administered. Lawyers for the inmates have expressed fear that it is the first drug is ineffective. Their clients will be subject to intense pain when the second and third drugs are administered. The concerns were raised after botched executions in Oklahoma, Ohio, and Arizona last year, 2014. In all three of these cases, midazolam was the first drug used in three-drug lethal injection protocols. But the Oklahoma Attorney General Office didn't ask for a stay of execution. He also asked that the Supreme Court lift the stay and allow executions to move forward if the State Department of Corrections obtains a usable quantity of a substitute drug of midazolam. Two alternative drugs have been approved for use in the state's three-drug lethal injection protocol. In essence, the state has pledged not to use midazolam in any future executions until the Supreme Court resolves the pending case, but Oklahoma's continuing to search for usable quantities for the other two drugs. If they are obtained, the state argued, there would be no remaining impediment to carrying out the petitioner's execution. Robin Conrad, an assistant federal public defender, represented the inmates, agreed in her brief to the court that the high court should order a halt to the imminent execution of her clients. If no stay is ordered, petitioners will be executed before the court has a chance to review the merits of their case. but the public defender objects to the second request from Oklahoma, and the plaintiffs are executed, their case before the high court would be rendered moot, short-circuiting any decision by the justices. Yeah, the court should not allow the important questions presented in this case to become moot only because the petitioners will be executed, she wrote. Well, it is in a brief order on Wednesday the court stayed the execution of the three plaintiff inmates, but only if those executions were to be carried out using midazolam. A lawyer for the inmates praised the high court's action in halting the imminent executions. We welcome today's ruling staying execution in Oklahoma until the court can address serious questions about the state's risky lethal injection protocol, Dale Bach, an assistant federal public defender, said in a statement. Midazolam is an appropriate drug to use in execution, he said. The scientific evidence tells us that it's even the proper administration of midazolam can result in an inhumane execution. The case is Glossop versus Gross, 14-7955. So I wanted to read upon that for you. And let's see what other news is going on. That's interesting because, like I said, they're talking about this all across the United States. Well, let's see what's going on in some of the other news. Marshall Lynch at the Super Bowl Media Day said, "I'm only here so I don't get fined." And that was his answer, y'all, all day long while they were asking him all kind of questions, and he still stuck to that one sentence. Excuse me, "I'm only here so I don't get fined." Well, Apple, Boeing kept Wall Street afloat, energy waves. Israel threatens Hezbollah with full-scale conflict as cross-border shelling leaves UN peacekeepers and two Israeli soldiers dead. Family of a mother of two stabbed to death in frenzied attack by jealous ex-boyfriend can't sue police over 999 failures that meant officers didn't arrive for more than 20 minutes, Supreme Court rules. Stock rises at midday after strong Apple and Boeing reports. Well, GoDaddy nicks a Super Bowl ad with puppy meal. That's interesting. I wonder why did they do that. And the NBA drafted top 50 biggest draft busts. Well, that should be interesting, huh? To say the least. Interesting. And a mountainside asteroid flies past the Earth along with a small moon trailing behind it. Oh, and the blizzard. You know what? It said that New York missed the blizzard. That was kind of hard to believe. I was watching that on the thing. But let's see. Blizzard warnings that called up to 3 feet of snow to fall in New York City, as well as the states of New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania, in the storm of the century has to be retracted after the snowfall turned out to be relatively light. Instead of the predicted 24 to 36 inches of snow, New York City was covered with just 1 to 3 inches. "There is nothing like we feared it would be," New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio told CNN, adding, "This is better safe than sorry scenario." Yes, it is. "My deepest apologies to many key decision makers and so many members of the general public," the meteorologist in charge of the National Weather Service said in Mount Holly, New Jersey. The storm did, however, sweep across Massachusetts and Connecticut, dipping as much as 2 feet of snow, a blizzard warning remaining in effect for much of Massachusetts and Rhode Island, where snow was expected to fall throughout the day and to raise as high as 2 to 3 inches or 5 to 8 centimeters more an hour. Well, I'll tell you, as of 12 a.m. last night, I know this from watching the news, Rhode Island put a mandate out that no cars were allowed out on the street after 12 a.m., period. Yes, after 12 a.m., period. They didn't want any vehicles out there because they didn't want anybody's life being risked, so, which I understand that. Okay, and back to a little music. Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to In the Studio with Linus on the Essence of Success Radio Network. That phone number is 646-727-2914, and the chat room is open. Well, we haven't talked about sports yet, so anyway, let's talk about hockey. I want to talk about hockey, number one, because I went to my first hockey game over the weekend, and I enjoyed myself. I actually had a wonderful, wonderful time. So we don't normally cover hockey. You know, we do like NFL, MLB, and then golf or tennis, something like that. But we don't really do hockey. So because I went to the game, I'm doing this for the hockey fans. So the NHL standings for the 2014-2015 season is as the Eastern Conference, Atlantic, Detroit is in first place, Tampa Bay second, and Montreal third. In the Metropolitan of the Eastern Conference, you have the New York and New York Islanders first, Pittsburgh second, and New York Rangers third place. Now in the Western Conference, Central, we have Nashville in first place, St. Louis in second, Chicago in third. And I'll tell you, the third place Chicago is going back and forth with Winnipeg, because Winnipeg is just looks like a half a game out. And then also in the Western Conference is Pacific, and it's Anaheim first place, San Jose second, Vancouver Canucks third, and Calgary fourth. So that's on the NHL standings. Now let's see what the rankings are. So the rankings for the Hawks back to work. Okay, is number one St. Louis. These are the rankings now. In second place overall is Anaheim. Third place is Chicago. Fourth, New York Islanders, and fifth place is New York Rangers. Sixth is Nashville. Number seventh place is Tampa Bay. Yep, they were up there in first place in the Eastern Conference. Number eight is Montreal. Nine is Detroit. And number 10, holding it down, is Winnipeg. So there are your rankings and your standings. And your schedules, well, I'll do it like this because Tuesday's has already started. So the schedule for tomorrow, January 28th, is Toronto at New Jersey at 7:30 p.m. This is Eastern Time. Pittsburgh at Washington, that's 8 p.m. Eastern Time. And Chicago at Los Angeles, 10:30 p.m. So just remember those games. Those are the three games that are being played on Wednesday. Toronto at New Jersey, Pittsburgh at Washington, and Chicago at L.A. And those are your hockey scores and news. So, okay, well, let's see what's going on in the NBA. Okay, well, I've got a scoreboard, so let me just start. Well, you know what? I should look and see what are their standings, huh? That'd probably be the most important. Okay, let's look at the NBA standings for the 2014-2015 season. So in the Eastern Conference, we've got Atlanta first place, second Washington, third Toronto, fourth is Chicago, fifth place is Cleveland, sixth is Milwaukee. Miami is in seventh place, and the Charlotte Hornets are in the eighth place. Okay, and in the Western Conference, we have number one, Golden State, that's out of Portland. Number two is Memphis. Number three, Portland. Oh, wait a minute, Golden State moved, huh? I think they're in, starts with an S in California. Sacramento. Yeah, I think they're in Sacramento, California, so let me take that back. Golden State is in first place. In Sacramento, two is Memphis, three Portland Trail Blazers, number four is L.A. Clippers, number five is Houston, six is Dallas, seven is San Antonio, and eight is Phoenix. L.A. Lakers and Utah and Denver are nowhere near them. Can you believe that? Wow, they're doing really bad. God, look at Lakers. Lakers have lost 34 games and they've only won 12. And Kobe's supposed to be out, y'all, for the rest of the season because of his shoulder. I guess he's got to have shoulder surgery. Isn't that something? Wow, you always look for L.A. and Utah, even Oklahoma. None of those teams are up there in the running. They're like down in the lower 48, so to speak. So anyway, that's the NBA standing. Now, the NBA rankings, we've got, and you know what? I don't know the signs of these teams. Isn't that terrible? I don't know their signs. If this was football, I could. But I don't know the, oh, that's the Golden State Warriors.
The New York Times.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry, y'all. I used to know the NBA by heart. I really did, but I don't now. Thunder. Yeah, I don't know their, you know, their little logos. I don't, wait a minute. Is this Utah? Well, that's the Clippers, Denver, Minnesota, Chicago, Oklahoma. I'm looking at L.A. Clippers. How come they're showing? Okay, I'm not understanding this. So, anyway, let's go to NBA home and see what the scores are. That I know I can do. Okay, so in the fourth quarter, this is NBA. Because I said it like that in hockey last week, and Miss Nina had to correct me because in hockey it's in periods, three periods, and not quarters. Okay, anyway, fourth quarter, we've got Sacramento 93, Toronto 114, and Sacramento just made another basket, so they're now 100 to 114 in the fourth quarter with 3 minutes left. So it looks like that game could go either way, folks. Then in third quarter with 3:10 remaining, Atlanta is beating BKN 83-76. Sorry, I don't know who those initials are. Fourth quarter just started. Houston Oilers are 81, Dallas Mavericks 78. Fourth quarter just started, 8 minutes, is Boston 80, Minnesota 84. Third quarter, we've got 2 minutes left in the third. Well, now a minute at 55. And we got New Orleans 65, Denver 68 over New Orleans. And in the fourth quarter, at 10 minutes left, yeah, only 10 minutes left, we've got Oklahoma 71, New York 70. And in the third quarter, at 11 minutes and 32 seconds left, San Antonio is 55 and Chicago is 40. And second quarter just starting, Utah 35, Clippers 34. Now the final, Cleveland beat Portland 99-44. The next final is Philadelphia beat Detroit 89-69. Whoa! That must have been a good game. Okay, the game is coming up Wednesday at 10:30 p.m. on the East Coast, 7:30 on the West Coast is Washington with Phoenix. So better watch out for that one and see what's going on. What else can I say? Oh, here it is. I can give you the matchup of the TV game. So we know that Cleveland beat Portland, Philadelphia beat Detroit. So coming up next is this tomorrow. Well, I guess they're putting this as today's show. Yeah, no, Wednesday. I was correct, tomorrow's show. Ooh, I'm getting confused here. Okay, so Wednesday's NBA games are as Sacramento at Toronto at 7:30 p.m., and these are all Eastern time. Brooklyn at Atlanta, 8 p.m. Dallas at Houston, 8 p.m. tomorrow night. Boston at Minnesota, Boy, let's hope you can get there, Boston. Oh, the snow you guys had, 8 p.m. Denver at New Orleans, 8 p.m. Oklahoma City, otherwise known as the Supersonics, they're playing at New York, 8 p.m. Charlotte is playing in San Antonio at 8:30 p.m. The L.A. Clippers are playing Utah at Utah, 9 p.m. tomorrow night. And the last one is Washington will be playing Phoenix, 10:30 p.m. tomorrow night. So there's your schedule for tomorrow night games. They say they're on TV, but I don't see sports. Well, ESPN is carrying Brooklyn and Atlanta, and Washington and Phoenix, ESPN is carrying those two games. So you might want to check that out. Okay, well, now you got the rest of the story for the NBA. Told you it's time for me to catch up with those guys and see what's going on. Oh, yeah, Kobe has surgery. Just some headline news. Kobe did have surgery, and he's expected to be out for 9 months. So, yeah, I was correct in saying they were out for the rest of the season, that he was out, rather, for the rest of the season. And LeBron is out against the Blazers for a sprained wrist. Right now, the Mavericks, Harden is MVP at this point so far. So just to give you a little bit more about that. And then let me give you a little juicy scoop. You know, I got to be a color commentary. The Miami Heat have been hit with one injury after another this season, and that bad luck continues with the South Florida Sun Sentinel reporting Dwayne Wade is set to miss a bunch of games due to a strained right hamstring. His timeline might see him sit up to the All-Star break spectacles, Ira Winderman. Okay, and it looks like Jermaine O'Neal is close to an NBA return. Well, good for you. The Pistons are in search for a PG. The Detroit Pistons are in the market for some cover at the point guard position after losing Brandon Jennings with a torn left Achilles tendon. The team could make a move in the coming days, as if they do, President of Basketball Operations and Head Coach Stan Van Gundy will only make a transaction that doesn't hurt the team in the long term. Terrence Ross not available. Some followers of the Toronto Raptors may think Terrence Ross could be available since head coach Dwayne Casey dropped him from the first unit. Well, those people would be wrong. According to a report from Sean Devaney of Sporty News, that didn't happen. The Milwaukee Bucks are pending transaction. The Milwaukee Bucks are expecting to make a few transactions, which are likely to be finalized by Thursday. This is according to ESPN Mark Stern. So, okay. The Charlotte Hornets are going to be without starting point guard Kemba Walker for at least 6 weeks, recovering from surgery to repair the torn lateral meniscus to his left knee. The Hornet could bring in a point guard, but will stand pat if there isn't a good deal for him. Wednesday, the return for Terrence Jones. Well, the Houston Rockets have been without forward Terrence Jones since November 3rd. Woo! Due to what the team listed as a left leg nerve inflammation. Jones has made good progress during the last few practices, and head coach Kevin McHale believes the progress could return to he forward could return to the activity roster for Wednesday's game against Dallas. Well, the 10-day contract for Jamal Green signed with the San Antonio Spurs expired on Tuesday, and both sides could not agree to a deal, so now he's a free agent. Green may not be on the market for too long, as several NBA teams might offer him a contract. Well, good for you. Utah's open roster spot. According to ESPN.com, Mark Steen, the Jazz are expected to sign swingman Chris Johnson to a 10-day contract on Wednesday. Johnson is currently playing the D League with the Rio Grande Valley Vipers, as he's averaging 20.1 points, 5.9 rebounds, and 2.1 assists. The second 10-day contract by Elliot Williams expired Monday night, so the Utah Jazz need to let him go or offer a rest-of-the-season deal. According to Adrian of Yahoo Sports, Williams will not get a rest-of-the-season contract. Interesting. Well, George Hill has now played three games since his last. This is Indiana Pacers. George Hill has now played three games since he returned from a strained left groin. And to make sure there are no issues moving forward, the medical staff has placed a 20-minute limit he can be on the floor. In the past three games, Hill has played up to 20-minute limit, and that will continue for a while. Ooh, strained left groin. I bet that hurts. NBA team's ID League assistant leader. This is the time each season when NBA teams are willing to look at D League prospects via 10-day contracts, and one hot name is Gary Talton. According to Sean's of RealGM.com, currently Talton is averaging 10.2 assists, which leads the D League in 13.2 points. Okay. Well, I think now we've come down to as much as I can give you on the news, because we're coming to the end of the hour. I want to thank you so much for joining me today on In the Studio with Linus on the Essence of Success Radio Network. I have had a ball. I'm so glad that you joined me today, and be sure and be back here next Wednesday at 6 p.m. on the West Coast and 9 p.m. on the East Coast. And we'll be talking NBA and, you know, the winners of the Super Bowl. I'll just let you know now. Seahawks. All right. And you have a good night and a good weekend. I love you.